of a sudden, where you felt like you were separated from God, all of a sudden, you're like, boom, I'm like with him, just like that. That's what an atmosphere is. And I'm telling you, worship has to happen every day for you. This is not my message, but I've got to say it, because worship has to be a part of your life. You need to be living, breathing, walking around worship. Because right now, everything else that's coming in is very worship of ourselves and our culture. And we've got to shift that out of us, and we've got to worship the one who created us. We're going to worship the creator, not his creation. We're going to worship the creator, not culture. We're going to worship the creator, not me. Not my agenda, not my plan. True worship is where I turn everything off of me and I turn it on to him. And I say, God, forget about me and everything else. It's all about you. That has to become a normal part of who we are. So that was your bonus. We've been in a series about getting to the other side. And I don't know about you, but even in Tim and I, just in our personal walk with the Lord and our marriage and in all sorts of things, we are very determined right now that wherever God is on the other side of whatever it is we're looking at, we are going to get there. And that's this house. And you'll find that Tim and I are definitely a team. That's why we swap out. We have an amazing team of leaders. It's not some big I and little you here. We don't do that. The only big I is the Holy Spirit. He's it. So he's the one that's in charge. But we want to get to the other side. I want to get to the other side of surrender. I want to get to the other side of forgiveness. I want to get to the other side of bitterness. I want to get to the other side of this sickness. I want to get to the other side. And so in order to do that, it requires something of us. And Tim talked last week about a message where he said, we made it. Isn't that awesome when you finally make it, you arrive somewhere? Have you ever been on vacation and you're it seems like it takes forever to get there if you're really anticipating and expectant in your heart to get there, right? And so it seems like it takes forever, but when you finally get there, right? When I finally arrive and I'm like, woo, this is the place. So in Joshua 5, Tim was talking about that last week. And they made it. They were in the promised land. They made it across. They were able to take everybody with them and the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And they made it. And as soon as they made it, there was a battle. You're like, this is going to be positive. Listen, there's always the next thing ahead. There's always the next thing that's going to be in front of you. Otherwise, we're not, my dad used to say this a lot. He said, we're not on a cruise ship, we're on a battleship in the kingdom of God, right? Some days you get to cruise, but most days you're headed to the next thing, because we are designed to conquer the enemy. You are designed to conquer the enemy. You just heard these ladies get up and share. They conquered some places that the enemy had been holding them captive. And we have to recognize that God created us to conquer something. So to get to the other side, sometimes we can get there, but God's like, oh, but I got something better for you. I've got something bigger for you. I've got something greater for you. And he always does. Have you ever been in a season, and I am going to put this in the microwave, I promise. Have you ever been in a season where you're moving, and you keep moving, but nothing's changing? Have you ever been in that, like, all right, God, I'm still going, I'm still walking, I'm still moving, I'm continuing forward, but nothing's changing. Nothing's happening. I'm praying, but nothing's happening. I'm moving, but nothing's changing. I'm pushing, but nothing's falling down. Has anybody ever been there besides me? I want to say this. There is purpose, and there is promotion, and there is destiny and promise on the other side. But if we stop, you will never see it. Not only will you not see it, you will never experience it. See, this morning, I can give you an amazing message, but the most valuable part of this service today was experiencing the presence of God. Because I can tell you about the presence of God. I can tell you how great it is, how amazing it is, how it made me feel. But if you don't experience it for yourself, then all you're doing is listening, right? The Bible says for us to be not just hearers, but doers. Doers experience. Doers experience. And so there are some things we just have to experience. So when we keep walking and nothing's changing, if we stop, we're going to miss the experience on the other side. So we have to not stop short of where God has called us to keep going. Where God has said, I know it looks like another thing up there, but if you will keep going, oh, what's on the other side of that? Oh, but God, I just got to the other side of this. And he's like, yes, we're going to go somewhere bigger and somewhere greater, and we're going to take more ground, and we're going to conquer more stuff. Because it's never just one thing. See, we have daughters. For a long time, it was all about getting married. That was going to be the experience, right? And we got married. Then it was all about, I want to have a baby. I want to have a baby. I want to have a child. I want to have children. Now we've had children, and then I'm like, how fast can they grow up, Lord, please? How fast can they grow up? And then now we've married off our oldest daughter. So that became the next new thing. That was the next thing to get on the other side. So now they're married and just happy as they can be. I say that. I don't live in their house. I think they're happy. She's smiling. She gave me a thumbs up. He's not here today. He's working. So they're happy. But here's the thing. Anytime we're going to the next thing, we always encounter obstacles. We're going to encounter obstacles. Look at me really quick in James chapter 1. Look with me there. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Man, Angela, why are you going to talk about obstacles? Let's talk about the joy of the Lord. Let's talk about all the good things. God is good. He's good enough that he's going to show you how to get over and around an obstacle. And sometimes you got to get through it. But in James chapter 1, it says this, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So what that says to us in James is trials, obstacles are going to come. And it says trials of all kinds, not just one kind, not just one thing, not always the same way, because once you learn how to conquer that, what's the fun in doing that again? I want to do something I've never done. I want to conquer something that's never been done. And so when we have these obstacles, we got to understand God put them there to develop something in you and I. See, we think that obstacles are there, that the enemy put an obstacle there. Maybe he did. Maybe God's allowing that obstacle to stay there because he wants to change something in you. Well, that's not very nice. Well, that's how we grow. That's how we change. Because otherwise, we're just moving, but we're not changing. We're just going forward, but we're not seeing anything happen. And so when we come up on an obstacle, there's a purpose in that obstacle. And let me tell you this, you don't get to bypass the obstacles to get to where God's called you to be. You don't get to like tiptoe through the tulips and jump around all the obstacles to get where God's called you to be. We have to understand that our whole life we see obstacles as bad, but today I want to talk to you about obstacles being something that's come to change you and move you forward. Maybe that obstacle is building something on the inside of you and I. Look with me at Joshua chapter 6, and we're just going to camp here for a minute. And then I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly. Interesting that Joshua chapter 6, Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible. This is chapter 6. 6 is the number of man. That's the meaning of that. That means man's number without God's assistance or the absence of God. In other words, I can do it in my own strength without him. Joshua chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now let me tell you this. The children of Israel are following Joshua. We've been talking about this for the last couple weeks. If you need to catch up, just start at Joshua 1 and read up to now. All right? You need to read the Bible for yourself. So we're now at this place. Joshua has led them finally 40 years of circling in the wilderness. And finally, everybody died off. Moses died off. All the doubters died off. All the naysayers died off. And finally, there were some people that had enough faith that they were able to go into the promised land. So they got in, and now they're staring at the city of Jericho. So that's where we are. Verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for how many days? 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark, and on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. This is really going to help me see better. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. That's y'all's cue? Okay, just kidding. Yes. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. What was happening? The trumpets were sounding. Remember that. I'm going to keep going. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. And then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now, most of you, some of you are familiar with this story. If you're not, I wanted to read the whole thing. Because this is a familiar story about the walls of Jericho falling. And we get all excited about the shout part. I just want to get to the walls falling down part. Let's have a moment in the house where we're going to shout, the walls are coming down. This church can do that. We want to get to the shout part. God, let the walls fall. Woo! But there was a lot that happened before the walls fell. And it's interesting to me that they had come out of the wilderness where circling had been a limitation. Because they had circled in the wilderness when they first were delivered from Egypt. They could have literally, they were 10 days from walking straight into the promised land. But instead, they went a different way and they went around and around and around and around for 40 years. Was not a pleasant experience. And I believe when they got into this place that God said, I'm going to have you circle this because you're going to redeem what the enemy meant back there. And I'm going to show you how to circle the right way. Listen, we all have problems. We all have issues. And Jericho in this story was a problem. I'll use Tim. Just come on up. You're all fiery. Come on up today. All right, so I just want you to stand like about right here. He didn't even know I was going to do this. This is super fun. All right, I'm going to let you stand right there. So Jericho was this problem, right? Jericho represents the thing in our lives that has these walls all the way around it. Now, why was Jericho such an issue? Because it was the first plot of land they were coming to that other people, that God said he was giving them all the land. And the people of Jericho, they had built a defense around them. They didn't want to make peace with the Israelites. They didn't want to have some sort of a camaraderie with them. They just wanted to keep them out. They were a very self-centered city. It was their way or no way. That is why they built these huge, thick walls. They didn't want anybody coming in and no one came out. Okay, so that's why it says it was this tightly shut up city. It was a problem. Much like the problems in our lives that have walls all the way around them and they just stay locked up. What is that problem for you? What is walled up in your life? Is it your marriage? Is it something with your children? Is it a sickness? Is it your attitude? We can keep going. Well, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to go there, and I'm not moving from here. Okay. Well, then you're going to stay around these walls. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to circle them. You're going to circle them. You're going to walk around them. You're going to circle around them over and over and over. And either that problem can be your wilderness or that problem can be the thing that you're circling because you have a strategy of God's about to drop those walls. Yeah. And let me tell you something. When you circle something, when you're going around something, it's always present. It's always there. I didn't go over here. I didn't walk away from it. I didn't run that way from it. I'm circling it. It's like Tim Fox in my life. He's always there. It's a good thing. But that thing that you want God to deal with, that thing that you want to be free of, that thing that you're like, God, this is the problem, and I've been moving, but nothing's happening. I've been walking, but nothing's changing. I've been praying, but I don't feel like anything is going on. But yet I'm still circling this thing. Because wherever I circle, I'm always around it. And it's always around me. So God gave Joshua a strategy. And it was a circling strategy. And I believe today I want to give you some of the circling strategies that God had Joshua and the men and the armies do that I believe you and I need to start doing around some things in our life. There's a circling strategy. Listen, God will use the craziest stuff to get things to shift in your life. We want him to do it in a nice package. But God doesn't work that way because that doesn't require faith from you. It's just like Shelley shared a few minutes ago. She wanted out of the box. She said there's light outside the box. Sometimes we have to listen to the voice of God and we have to do things outside the box. And in order to see the miraculous, you need to probably do something ridiculous. Like forgive. Well, that's not ridiculous. Oh, yeah, it is, because you have chosen not to do it. So it seems ridiculous that you would forgive something that has clearly been wronged against you. God will use the ridiculous to bring the miraculous. For us to have victory, to be victorious, he's going to use something a little bit crazy. So we're going to learn some circling strategies today. Because today you have to not see that as the problem, and you've got to see it as the way to your promise. Because if you're circling the problem, and all I see is the problem, I'm not seeing the promise. If I only see Jericho and I don't see Jesus, do you understand? So we have to recognize I'm circling this thing, but I'm changing my perspective. God's going to change our perspective in this room today. Now instead of that's the problem, now it's, okay, God, you've got this baby, you've got this marriage, you've got this church, you've got this sickness. This is not an issue for you. Now I see a promise on the other side. While you're circling. Here's some strategies. And let me say this. Circling is not wasting time. It's to bring down a wall. And sometimes it takes time to bring down the wall. Why did God not give Joshua the strategy and just say, go, and on the first day, walk around 7 times and shout, and the walls are going to fall? Because there had to come some faith and some trust and some obedience in the people. That had to happen. Because as they were circling, I'm sure they got it the first day. It didn't say, he didn't give them a time frame. Nothing. He just said, you guys go get your trumpets. You guys get the ark. You guys follow up the ark. Blow your trumpets and walk around. Well, for how long? Till I tell you to stop. Well, is this all we're going to do today? I thought we were going to battle. Yeah, we are. I want you to circle the city with the presence of God. I want you to circle the city, because as you walk around, you're not going to see this as a problem. You're about to see it as the promise. You're going to no longer see it through your own eyes, because you're going to circle with the presence of God and not your own opinion. You understand? So we have to circle. We have to begin to circle. And the first strategy is we've got to circle with faith. In verse 2, he told Joshua, see, I have already given you the city. He said it in past tense. He wasn't saying, hey, this is going to happen. He said, no, you need to understand before you go that I've already done it. I just need you to obey me. And there are some things in our lives that God has said to you, I've already done it. And you're still begging him to do it. And he's like, I've already done it. I'm just waiting for you to be obedient. I'm waiting for this wall thing on day 6 to do something and build something on the inside of you so I can do what I've already said I'm going to do. It's a circling strategy that we have to circle with faith. Even if you feel like you've been walking for 6 days and nothing's happening and nobody's giving you any strategies and nobody's giving you any instructions and nothing is making sense. But God says, go around again. His word says that we are supposed to walk by faith and not by, but we want to walk by sight. Oh, I have faith. No, you don't, because you're only believing in what you see. We have to walk around and we have to circle the things in our life that there are walls around. And we have to begin to understand that when we are circling that thing, it's not by what I see, it's by faith. Shoes are a hazard. But boy, I really love them. So we have to circle like this. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God says that I will have all the riches. I can do all things through Christ, that there is no sickness that can be in my body. God wants you to get the word of God and begin to speak it over your life and begin to circle and speak those things that are not as though they are.
Right.
Circle with faith. Come on, shout, I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. God's saying, I want you to walk it out even when it doesn't work. I want you to forgive even when you don't think you can. I want you to keep praying even when you don't see immediate results. Just because your progress isn't obvious, it doesn't mean it's not working. And there are things in our life that we think, oh, it's just not obvious. It's obviously not going to happen. Nope, probably won't, because that's what just came out of your mouth. God's never going to restore that relationship. God's never going to give me a child. God's never going to heal my body. God's never going to change this job. God's never going to give me true direction for my future. You're saying the wrong things while you're circling. You're circling the problem, and you're just talking to the problem like the problem's in charge. But the problem's not in charge. The promise is in charge, and you got to change what you're speaking, and you got to circle with faith.
Right.
I know I have 4 minutes. Number two, you got to circle. You got to circle with perspective. Remember, I said there are some things, there are obstacles that God will put in the way simply because He wants to change your perspective. See, if they had just walked in to the promised land and there was nothing in the way, then all of a sudden their perspective is, oh, this is going to be so easy. We don't have to do anything. We did all this. We walked around the wilderness for 40 years. We stuck it out. I did it. We did it. It was my way. It was my tenacity. It was my strength. It was my determination.
That's right.
No. So God will put an obstacle there to change your perspective. And you got to circle with the right perspective. Because when we stop short, if we only circled 6 days and we stop at day 6 and think, I don't know, God's strategy is not working. Now my perspective is going to block me getting to day 7. Listen, the enemy loves to use your problems to block your perspective. If that's all you can see, you got to change your perspective. You got to circle with silence. You got to circle with silence. And silence is a weapon. Are you still good? Do you want a chair? Okay. In Joshua 6:10, he said, don't say a word. Why? Because silence is the best weapon you can give yourself. And it will probably bless some others. But ultimately, the best silence you can give yourself, the best weapon is silence. That doesn't always mean just what's coming out of your mouth, because all these thoughts right up here, you got to silence those too. I'm walking around. This makes no sense. What in the world? Why am I following Joshua? Why am I following God? Why am I going to church? Why am I listening to any of this? This makes no sense. Nothing good is happening in my life. Everybody's left me. I have no money in my bank account. This is just a mess. And I've told God, I prayed, I did all the right things. I showed up to prayer meetings. I showed up to church. I read my Bible. I did all the things God asked me to do, but He's just forgotten about me. I'm out of His picture. So He's doing His own. You got to silence all that. Because all of that's going to get in the way of the perspective. And then that's going to prevent you from having faith. Somebody shout, circle with silence. Listen, when they circled in the wilderness, they were not silent. And that was the problem. They were complaining. Just a regular conversation on a regular morning, and all of a sudden it just goes negative in the blink of an eye, and the next thing I know, we're all complaining about everything, and everybody, like, we're all sitting in the salon chair. Sorry, Marie, that doesn't happen in my salon chair. But it's the truth. You just start talking out, and all of a sudden, that's what happened in the wilderness. It was one of the things that kept them going around and around. Listen, we got to circle with faith, not words. And silence is so awkward. Have you ever been in a meeting? So one of the things I do in a consultation where I work, when I'm giving people an opportunity to share their story about what's going on with their life or their child or whatever the case may be, I'll ask them a question and then I'm just quiet. And it is the most awkward feeling. Have you ever been in something where you just let the silence, like if I just... It's like, when is she going to talk? What is she going to say? Does she know what time it is? Silence is awkward. But silence is what gives you a chance to hear the voice of God over the enemy. Because when you're thinking and when you're talking, those things, the enemy is going to grab a hold of that. You understand? When you don't talk, I've said this before, then you don't give the enemy something to work with. He can't read your mind. He can't go after something that you don't give him a strategy to do use. So when you open your mouth and you say something, now he has something to go pervert, to twist, to bring destruction in your life. So zip it while you circle. This is interesting to me, and I'm going to end on this. I'm not going to finish the message today. It was interesting to me when I started reading this, because when I was little and I always heard this story, I always understood it that it was complete silence when they walked around the walls. I thought, how weird, like a whole group of people just walking around really quiet. No noise except the gravel under their feet or whatever. But it wasn't silent. That's why I said pay attention. That every day, including the 6 days leading up to the seventh day, he said, blow the trumpets. He said, I want the trumpets blowing. I don't want you talking, but I want the trumpets blowing. And I know I didn't understand that. And so I went and looked it up. Lots of things it says, but the actual blowing of the trumpets in this story, they actually used the ram's horn. They didn't use a standard type trumpet. They used the ram's horn, which was only used in the year of Jubilee. Or it was to signify or the remembrance of Jubilee or freedom. And in Numbers 10, there's lots of examples, but I'm just going to give you this one. I'm sorry I didn't give you all this scripture. Numbers 10, it says, the sons of Aaron, the priests, are to blow the trumpets. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you and the generations to come. For when you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets, and then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. The sound of a trumpet signaled war. It signaled direction that everyone else was going to follow behind. It was a reminder of God's faithfulness from generation to generation. And it was a sound of rescuing that you were about to win and the enemy was about to be defeated. So I never understood just being quiet. But God said, no, it was an exchange of sound. That there was a moment when they began to blast the trumpets, that there was supposed to be a sound released, but it wasn't supposed to be my flesh. You understand the difference? Because when God is releasing his sound over us, it's reminding us, I'm about to show up and I'm about to rescue you. And every enemy, I'm about to defeat them. Can I take it one step further? In Revelation 11, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Let me put it together for you. The sound of trumpets back in 1400 BC and the sound of trumpets when Jesus comes back has the same thing. And we've got to begin to circle the things in our life with a sound of deliverance, with a sound of freedom. The same sound, because we need to recognize that sound when Jesus comes back. I mean, you can go through the Bible, all these stories about trumpets. When I was little, I was like, I don't even like the trumpet. Why are all these trumpets in here? Because we are supposed to circle the promises of God, and before we ever shout, there's already a sound of victory that's already been released. And it's not coming from me, it's coming from him. That's the exchange. Because we've got to circle with his sound and not our own sound. I'm going to give you the last ones, but I don't have time to expound. You need to circle with obedience. You need to circle with endurance. How much longer, God? Hebrews 10:35, don't throw away your confidence. You need to persevere so that you, when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I got to begin to circle the things in my life that I think are problems. And God's getting ready to show you, no, that's a promise. No, that wall is there because the promise that I told you is on the other side of that problem. And I need you to see the promise and not the problem while you're circling. And I need you to go by what you feel in your spirit and what your faith says and not what your eyes say. And I need you to shut your mouth, and I need to let a sound be released from the heavens over your life and over that circumstance. Somebody shout, circling. You can go, because otherwise you'll take the mic. We have to really recognize God has given us a strategy. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to win. And you're going to win. Why? Because I'm not going to continue to circle with my mouth open, with my thoughts in the wrong place, saying the wrong things, listening to the wrong voices, feeling sorry for myself. But I'm going to begin to circle. And the only way that I'm going to ever see the walls fall is if I keep going. And I keep circling God's way. And I keep circling that thing all the way to day 7 when I think God is crazy. And I think everybody else in my life is crazy. And I'm going to keep circling, because there is going to come a shout day. And I'm ready for when God says, okay, today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Are you sure, Lord? Because I've walked around 5 times. Today's the day. All right, God. I'm ready. I'm waiting. It's probably going to be this round. I feel it. It's going to be this time around. You're going to tell me. You're going to say, shout, and the walls are going to come down. Nope, you got one more lap. You got one more lap. I don't know if I can make it one more lap. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Come on, everybody stand up with me. We're going to get a circling strategy. Because God's given promises. And I'm telling you, the walls are going to fall on some things. The walls around your kids. I don't know why generations is such a thing in the room today. It must be on the heart of God today. But I'm telling you right now, every wall that the enemy has built around my children, around my nieces, around my nephew, it's going to fall. Because there's a promise in them. They're not a problem. There's a promise in them. And I'm going to keep circling. I'm going to keep doing what God said, even when I don't see it yet. How many of you need a circling strategy for some promises. I didn't say problems. I said promises. Because if money's the problem, then provision is the promise. If what you see in that teenager is the problem, oh, but there's a destiny that's a promise on the inside of them. If what you see as your job is the problem, God says, oh, but the promises, I put you there, and there's some people you're about to win to my kingdom. See, we have to turn it around. We have to turn it around. My marriage is my problem. My husband is my problem. My wife is my problem. No, they are the promise. It's harder to shout on that one. Come on, just close your eyes. God, I just ask you right now that you would give every one of us in this room supernatural circling strategies. Show us how to circle the promise like they did around the walls of Jericho. God, not just to see it fall, but because you're going to build something in me. God, you're going to grow something in me. You're going to build my faith. You're going to stir me up. You're going to speak to me. There's going to be an exchange of my voice for your voice in the circling. Come and do it, Lord. Come and do it, Lord. Come and do it in us, Lord. I'm not satisfied. We can't be satisfied to just go around another time without a purpose. God, I declare purpose in this room today. I declare purpose and passion and perseverance to circle those things. Come on, maybe you're listening to us, and I know that Tim said this earlier, but if there's anybody right now, you have an impossible situation. It's absolutely impossible. You cannot, with your natural eyes, see how it could change. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this morning. So I just want you to make your way up. Maybe somebody needs to come with you. When you're facing something impossible, it's hard to say, God, I think you can do it, and it's hard to do that by myself. But God, today, I'm believing you for something that's impossible. I feel a lot of things around relationships right now. I'm telling you, if you feel like there's a broken relationship that is impossible, and you desire for God to fix it and heal it, come on, I challenge you to come down here today and trust God. Trust God. There are some young people right now in the room. I feel like that there is a, you need a strategy for your future. And there is a fear of making decisions. And you've been circling the same thing over and over and over. The decision maker is in the room today. Come on, who is that right now? There are some young people, right? You're like, I don't know which thing to do. I don't know which major to pick. I don't know which class to take. I don't know which direction I'm going for my life. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. So you feel like you're circling endlessly. But today, the decision maker's in the room. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, you're going to start circling that problem of not knowing where to go, and all of a sudden it's going to be so clear to you. Because the promise of God hasn't changed over your life. The promise of God hasn't changed over your life. Come on, I want somebody standing with every one of these people. Come on. There's some circling strategy. God is about to give out some strategies to those of you standing up here that you've been so indecisive, you've been so broken, you've been so disappointed. I'm telling you, disappointment is about to run out of the room today. I speak to disappointment, where we've been disappointed by our own choices and by obstacles of the enemy. But today, God, I ask you to turn disappointment into determination in the room. I release it right now. Direction, direction, direction. Well, I feel like I'm not going anywhere. Well, at some point, the walls will fall and you get to run in and you get all the plunder. There's direction today. There's direction today. Come on, we're going to pray right now. Holy Spirit, right now, we thank you, God. You are the God of the impossible. There's nothing you can't do. God, you never fail. You never forsake us. You never change your mind. You never disappoint. And God, I know there is direction from the throne room today. And God, I release it right now for every one of these people standing at the front of this room. God, I speak healing to relationships. God, I speak for restoration and reconciliation. God, I speak direction right now for a hope for the future right now in Jesus' name. I bind confusion in the name of Jesus from the enemy. And God, I declare right now that there is going to be such a clarity of sound mind. Because you have not given us a spirit of fear, God, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And I declare that right now for clear thoughts in the name of Jesus. I speak for a sound mind. How dare you come in and try to make us think, devil, that we are depressed and we cannot think clearly. I take authority over that in the spirit today. And God, we declare, we're going to circle this thing and we will see the walls fall. God, we're going to circle it your way and we're going to see the walls fall. God, I just declare it right now. I declare it right now. Come on, worship team. Just begin to sing that. Just begin to sing that over this room right now.
You can do all things.
You can do anything, God.
You can do all things but fail because you never lost a battle.
Begin to declare that if you're at your seats, you can do anything but fail, God.
Because you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never will.
Oh, you never fail, God. You never fail us. You never change your mind. There's nothing too big for you. There's nothing too great for you. There's nothing impossible for you, God. Come on, everybody else, just raise your hands in the room with me. You can do all. Just begin to declare that in the room.